You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Pessimists see a glass half empty, but our optimists see a glass half full. Are we locked into regressive mentality by chains unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the truth seekers out there. I got a couple of special guests on the show with me, one returning guest and a new guest, and we'll start with the Queen, Dr. Miriam Dernigan. How you doing, Queen? Thank you so much for being with us this morning and the Truth Seekers. And we also have a returning guest, Amikos Chambers. If y'all will, say hello to each other. But again, Dr. Dernigan, we'll start with you. If you will, say hello to the Truth Seekers as well and give people a little bit of your background before I let the cat out of the bag on this morning's discussion question. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Good morning. Thank you for having me. So I'm Dr. Miriam, is usually what my clients call me. I am a licensed psychologist currently located in the Atlanta area, but trained and lived and worked in the Massachusetts and Connecticut area for many, many years, both while an advanced graduate student, but certainly after completing my doctoral studies. And in terms of folks that I work with, I'm trained to really work across the lifespan. So children, adolescents, families, spent a lot of time in private practice working with mostly clients of color from a variety of ethnic backgrounds, and also specializing in really thinking about some women-related experiences, couple therapy as well.
No, I love it. Very extensive background and perfect for this morning's discussion. Returning guests. D'Amico's Chambers, if you will, Coach D'Amico's, if you will. Thanks a lot, King, for being back with us. You also have a background in therapy and particularly helping Black men and in regards to relationships and things of that nature. So absolutely the aptitude to do this morning's show. But if you will, give people a little more of your background. You are an author and also a co-host, and I've been on your show, Black Men and Cigars, just to highlight that. I hope I haven't stole your thunder, King, but thanks for being back with us. Say hello to Dr. Miriam and to the Truth Seekers, and give us a little bit of your background. Thanks again for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I'm out here doing a little bit at a time, you know what I'm saying? great morning, everyone. Great morning to the ladies as well. It's a pleasure to be able to share this platform with you all. Fear Coach D'Amico's here. Black Men and Cigars podcast on YouTube. I specialize in helping Black men face the fears that keep them from accomplishing goals that can change their lives. So that's what I do in a nutshell. I'm also ambassador for therapyforblackmen.org. It's a mental health directory specifically for Black men. But, you know, occasionally I get Black women that message me on there as well for potential clients. So, I'm just here to share my experience and contribute to the conversation. Thank you.
No, absolutely. And speaking of Black Men in Therapy, shout out to Undugu, very critical in making sure this morning show got pulled off. So I wanted to shout Maurice and for helping me pull off this morning show. So without further ado, let's get into this morning's discussion question. Again, I go by the name Black Socrates. If you are a first-time listener, in a sense, we like to take the Socratic method, in a sense, to get to the answers by asking the right questions, if you will. And so we do our show in the form of a question. And this morning's discussion question is, are you honest with your therapist? Are you honest with your therapist? So easily, easy to see that you got the two esteemed guests that can handle this question fully and go in depth. But if we will, we'll start with you, Queen, Dr. Merriam, before we go to our first break here. I always start the show a very particular way, and it's not going too deep, but it's just simply when you heard the question worded the way that it is. Can you recall your very first thought without going too deep about the other thoughts? I just like to hear the initial thought when I say, hey, you know, obviously Maurice from Undugu helped pull you in for us. And when you heard yesterday, hey, this is the question. What did you first think when you first heard it?
I immediately just thought of clients that I've worked with and the fact that my first association was that most people are probably not honest with their therapist, at least not initially.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, for you, Coach D'Amicos, your first thought, I reached out to you a few days ago and say, hey, brother, need you on this show. This is what you do. When I told you, hey, I think I'm a matter of fact, I tried to describe it to you, say, hey, I thought it was a wonderful show. Now I'm trying to put it together. So here's the question. What was your first initial thought as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as the doctor said, yeah, most clients or patients on their end definitely withhold information that could allot more, even more accountability on their end in sessions. I definitely experienced that when we had a coach. That's definitely I can go into a whole bit, but yeah, that's definitely stories with clients even that are ashamed to do something because they know they're going to have to bring it up in therapy or coaching session. So yeah.
Now the last touch point that you brought up, I think, is a critical part of this discussion. We've got just a couple of minutes before we go to our first break, is the idea of, like you said, even the idea of having to be honest or just thinking that I'm supposed to be honest, and how just that thought alone makes people who, obviously, if they're thinking about the need for therapy, but that's what keeps them from going, they're in need of therapy but refuse to go just because of the honest component, or as you even mentioned, the concept of shame. Dr. Merriam, I'll throw it back to you. We just got, like I said, we got about a minute and a half before we go to our first break. But just any thoughts on just the idea of having to be honest and how it keeps people from even starting the process of getting therapy?
Yeah, the other thing, you know, second thing that came to mind with me was just thinking about, certainly in my practice, the importance of, you know, walking with folks along the journey so that they develop more insight. And so one of the questions that, you know, came to mind for me is, you know, are how, where are people with regard to their ability to be honest with themselves? So as I think about in therapy, you know, their ability to sit and to share with me intimate thoughts or things that would be important in terms of the therapeutic journey, there's another component to that in terms of one's ability to, you know, what I say is sort of look in the mirror, or when your head hits the pillow at night, how honest are you with yourself, first and foremost, to then be able to, in a relationship, right, share that, in this case, a therapeutic relationship, but nevertheless, to share with someone else. I think what would be critical information, again, and a therapist's ability to really help provide some guidance, you know, feedback to assist people with whatever their presenting concerns are.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you for those thoughts. But we're going to go to a short break, and come back. We're going to get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion. Are you honest with your therapist? I will tell you that typically there's a few subjects that I touch, whereas I have callers throughout the show, where typically when I do mental health, child sexual abuse or domestic violence. Mm-hmm. We get very few callers. So I'm actually saying that to challenge those who are out there listening to call in and tell us whether it's your therapy stories or why you're afraid to get therapy. And just, again, just listening to both of our professionals talk about, what being honest within your therapy, what it can do for you, how it can add to it, or don't let that stop you, if you will. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways. Every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think. If you love black culture and black class, kings and queens, Delisa Designs is presenting the fashion show of the year. The evening will be one to remember, featuring Atlanta's finest dancers, drummers, singers, poets, and last but not least, some of Atlanta's finest designers, including Delisa Designs. Dinner, drinks, and after party will all take place at the beautiful Dawn Event Hall, located at 3201 Atlanta Industrial Parkway, Northwest Atlanta, on Sunday, July 11th at 4 p.m. Tickets and vendor booths are available on eventbrite.com. Search for the Sunrise Fashion Show, or contact Delisa at 404-453-5865. Again, that's 404-453-5865. I promise you, you don't want to miss this show.
And today I wanted to talk about something that's a little bit difficult to bring up, the idea of being really honest with your therapist. This may seem like kind of a funny thing for me to be sharing with you today, but it's actually very common for people coming in, especially those that are dealing with really difficult issues in their life, things where they experience a lot of shame, or maybe it's just one of your places of getting stuck is having a hard time with being really genuinely open about your feelings. It is of critical importance for both you and for your therapist to feel like you can be completely open and honest about anything that's going on in your life with the therapist that you're trusting to help you. Being able to share openly, very deeply, even some of the things that maybe you've experienced shame about before, parts of your life where maybe you don't normally talk about things and subjects that maybe you're not comfortable talking about with other people, but allowing your therapist into these spaces and to be getting a very clear, very open view of you is so important for you to feel not only like you're being understood and that you're getting the support that you need, but for your therapist to be able to have a clear picture of what's going on. There's a saying that's been helpful for me before to kind of keep in mind is that if you give somebody half of the problem, you can only get half of the solution. So
welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? Our special guest, Dr. Merriam, as well as Coach D'Amicos, thank both of you for being on. You just heard a cut talking in particular and directly to this morning's discussion question. I don't know if anything stood out to you, Dr. Merriam, if you will, but we'll start with you, Queen. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts in reference to that cut? And again, just the importance of the honesty. And I like the thing they said at the end. If you get half the solution in a sense, and I'm pretty sure, or just to make an assumption, let me admit, I've only been through therapy a couple of times myself, a couple of sessions myself. I'm building up to it. So this is as much as for me, as it is for anybody out there listening. But again, just highlighting just the idea of delaying or not really getting what I could get out of it due to that leeriness to be honest, if you will. But any thoughts in reference to that cut, Queen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the last part for me was critically important as well as, you know, and this is, you know, two parts. It's both thinking about the client in therapy, but I think also from the perspective of the therapist wanting to ensure that I am cultivating or creating an environment where clients can feel comfortable and respecting and recognizing that that may take time, particularly for those folks that are newer to therapy. It can be, you know, awkward to sort of sit with someone, to know and really desire to want to get help, but at the same time, this is someone that you don't know. And for individuals that are just starting therapy for the first time, it can, you know, there's sometimes some uncertainty with regard to, you know, what do I share? So I appreciated in the cut that was played, just of the idea of maybe the client doing some self-reflection and really thinking about what are the areas where maybe I felt some shame, some embarrassment, things that I tend not to talk about, and to see therapy as an opportunity to challenge oneself, to really have an opportunity to talk about some of those things. I'm also a professor and a clinical researcher, and so some of the research certainly suggests that for clients, their experience of, you know, I'll put not being truthful instead of saying lying, but not being truthful in therapy is not being truthful by omission. So in other words, not talking about or not bringing up right topics that they may feel some shame or embarrassment, and that's connected to, whether that's connected to behaviors like substance use or even thinking about just how much emotional distress that they're in, as well as experiences, you know, in their lives that they may feel some shame or embarrassment about. So it's what I like to call a co-constructed reality where, you know, clients, wanting clients to see this as an opportunity, but also for therapists to understand the client experience and really work to build the relationship. I certainly have worked with folks where it's taken some time to build a relationship. We're going along in therapy, and still much later on, they may bring up something that I knew nothing about. And this could be, you know, 6 months, you know, a year later. So just that recognition that people do need to feel comfortable, but ideally for me, the ability of a client to share and to be open and to be comfortable is going to give me the best possible context to really, as I said, you know, help someone with what it is they may be struggling with.
Nah, it makes sense. And, you know, love, and if I could just even reiterate what you just said for anybody out there listening or considering or haven't been to therapy, that yes, the best opportunity to get help is to share that thing you've been holding or haven't been sharing or only share it with your closest friends and things of that nature. Coach Tobikos, if you will, your thoughts on the cut or anything that Dr. Berry had to say in reference to what you've seen from your various clients and kind of tackling or overcoming the honesty portion, which I can imagine. And like I say, even for myself, the two times I did it, great therapist, getting comfortable, again, just a couple of sessions, as much as I've advocated, you know, just kind of wanted to live it out or get it for myself. And in doing so, it's still a process for me as a client, just filling out what do I say. But what have you seen, Coach Tobikos?
The one component that I think that gets overlooked is that there actually has to be compatibility and chemistry between, you know, the client and the therapist. To kind of create that synchronization of comfort for that client to have that honest line of communication ongoing with that therapist. They have to feel like this is someone who not only can help me, but this is someone I like, you know. And so, you know, not everybody's going to be a match, you know. And I think that's also a hard thing for a lot of therapists to professionals to grasp. It's not a bad reflection on you. It's just that's what it is. Some things that are beyond our scope. And two, you know, the honest component is so interesting because when you're deep diving deeply into these clients' lives, it's really hard to. It's not so much that they lie to you or that they're dishonest. It's just if anything, they may withhold information. Maybe. But you're diving so deep, you're digging into their subconscious, you're going into their childhood trauma, you're going into relationship experience, et cetera, et cetera. You're covering so much so quickly, and if you're really good therapist, you're getting to the truth so fast. It's really hard to withhold anything. When we talk about this honest factor, it's not necessarily that a client will lie to you, but it's when you all have your ongoing sessions, there's certain information because you may have gave them a skill or you're talking about their triggers or whatever, something to work on, and they know that they're supposed to be operating within that that new learned behavior or whatever lesson that is that you all uncovered. And boom, you know, they definitely, don't want to do it because they don't want to come back and tell you the failed story.
Okay, I see what you're saying, that in the event that you, let me see if I'm understanding you, in the event that you recommend something to the client, then that's what you're saying, that to a degree, that's when you might see them in a sense not wanting to say, hey, I didn't do that work yet, again, because you basically broke down and have agreed, hey, here's some things you, or some steps you might could take to in a sense, improve in this. And so sometimes they're not always wanting to, in a sense, relay that. Is that what I'm understanding with the last point that you made?
Yep, absolutely.
Dr. Merriam, anything similar in that reference as far as, yeah, maybe you're giving some tools and they're not necessarily using the tools, or let's even take it a little step further, that whatever their hesitancy is to use the tools that you suggested, sometimes maybe it's the key, and I've seen this with a friend, and sometimes it's the key component to why they're having the delay. So they're continuing to come to therapy, but their delay is the lack or use of that tool. And for whatever reason, they won't use it, and it kind of heavily delays, in a sense, their progress in some sense, if you will. At least I've seen that in one of my friends that's been through therapy. Your thoughts on that, Dr. Merriam?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other factor, you know, is as you're building the relationship, you know, from the client's perspective, and, you know, there is, I think, sometimes I've heard from clients also, as I said, read interviews of clients just reflecting on their experiences of therapy, and there's sort of this idea sometimes about not, as the relationship builds, not wanting to disappoint, so to speak, that factors in, disappoint the therapist, right? So you've been doing this work, they've been teaching you the skills. You know, perhaps there's some homework, I'll put that in air quotes, that's been given for you to try to apply some of the new, you know, whether it's sort of thoughts, skills that you're acquiring. And so coming back in, you know, to check in, there may be clients that either over-report, right, what it is that they've been doing, or under-report any hesitancy that they may have. Because, again, there is still a factor, you know, sort of playing out. So I agree with the previous point that it becomes really important to kind of look at the relationship between the therapist and client. For the therapist sometimes, again, to sort of set the stage with regard to saying, you know, and encouraging clients to recognize, like, to the degree, right, that you feel comfortable, it's, you know, even if you didn't, right, sort of do the task or engage in the skill in that way, I want to hear about that, right, because I'm here to support you, really laying the groundwork so that clients, again, can come in and say, okay, I tried. Or maybe I'm not, you know, what you suggested doesn't really fit with who I am, versus, you know, sort of saying, here you go, here's something that you can try, and then having a client come in and say, you know, I tried it, to avoid, again, what they might perceive would be disappointment from the therapist. So I try to work with clients in a way to sort of let them know this is about you. And again, the degree that we can, you know, talk to one another and be open about what's working, what's not working. Even if you disagree, right, with something that I said, that really fosters a relationship and an environment for clients where there is some chemistry, where we can, you know, continue to do the work. Because otherwise, you know, that idea of hesitance, I find, does factor in, where clients are reporting what they think you know, to some degree. I've heard clients say they sort of report what they think that their therapist might want to hear, and that really takes away from the opportunity.
Now, that's key and critical, again, just having walked a few friends, and I've always been a longtime advocate of people getting therapy and talking to some, you know, other friends who've been in therapy. But I just remember, again, this key friend, again, regularly getting therapy for some mental health issues, if you will. And that's what you kind of just mentioned, I would say to her, I said, at least do it and then have that dialogue with your therapist, because in the event that it, like you just mentioned, it doesn't work, or this doesn't work for me, I said it's hard to be able to have that dialogue or even know if it works if you've already assumed that, you know, it might be a writing task, write daily or something like that, and they may do it a couple of days, but then the next couple of weeks before the, you know, next session, they've only done it a couple of times. And you even mentioned a word that I thought about when you said over-reporting. Like, when you said that, Dr. Merriam, I thought to myself, I'm like, yep, they're just trying to meet just that human nature of trying to please who you're dealing with, to a degree, without consciously being aware of it. You're starting to be slightly dishonest, even in the work that you've done, again, not wanting to disappoint. And I just love how you're, in a sense, you know, kind of walking and talking through that. Again, I'm thinking for people out there listening, these are just small details that, you know, for someone maybe who hasn't taken that step, these are small things. They, in a sense, could have the advantage by hearing, as we speak about it, hey, these are things to avoid. Because when you've never had therapy, well, again, I've only had it a couple times, you don't know what to expect. You know, to my, you know, I did have the advantage of having worked with a cadre of different therapists, because we do the community checkup once a month where we bring on doctor level professionals. So I feel like I had a little advantage just from hearing them talk about, in a sense, what to expect. But Coach D'Amico, as you talked about a key component, that compatibility between the therapist, you know, and the client. Again, I think I do agree with you. Something that gets overlooked, we're going to get real heavy into that after the next break. But just highlighting, you know, that compatibility, if both of you could just kind of speak for someone who's considering it for the first time or a little afraid, if you will. And again, I'm pretty sure the fear is related to that having to be vulnerable, something that people are not used to. Just any suggestions, just getting over just that part of it, the fear, if you will, and Coach D'Amico, you are the fear coach. So just any thoughts on, as you always are encouraging people to consider and get therapy, and particularly Black men who we always talk about are, in a sense, the last to want to get it, if you will. How have you been successful in encouraging more men to just start the therapy process?
Oh, you want me to answer now or going to the break?
No, we got time. Yeah, I was just letting you know. I was just saying we'll get heavy into the compatibility after the fact. But yeah, how are you convincing these Black men to finally get there? Because I've seen you be a long time advocate for this.
Yeah, so thankfully, as I said at the beginning of the call, being an ambassador for therapy for blackmen.org, thanks to Dr. Vladimir, who created this great resource for Black men and a huge advocate for it. I decided to just be that voice online that I just decided to carry how I am offline online. You know, a lot of Black men I noticed in my network that I built, you know, they respect me in a lot of ways. You know, they look up to me in a lot of ways. And they look to me in a lot of ways. And so we're in this social media age where, you know, that image of the Black man is greatly
Yeah, I think we may have a bad connection, Coach D'Amico. So I'm gonna have you call back in and just kind of move the question over to Dr. Marion, and you call back in. You know, you're working in and out, so just give a call right back in if you don't mind. Dr. Marion, how are you convincing people who are having that fear? In a sense, are you in that, you know, in a situation to start therapy? And I think we're making some leeway in the community, because 20 years ago, hardly anybody would, or you were crazy to even go to get a therapist. So I think we've gotten over those things. But even from the individual standpoint, without that, people are still fearful. So how are you, what are you saying to encourage people to start the process?
I mean, I start with conversation, and I would say on the first phone call, when, you know, if a client calls me and then I call back in an effort to see, I sort of present myself as, how might I be able to assist you and to be helpful? So wanting them to understand that this is a collaborative relationship, because I do think so many folks have ideas and just associations or projections, you know, about what therapy is, whether it's something, you know, they heard from someone, or they're just curious, or even something they've seen, you know, depicted on a movie, right, or on a TV show. So I try to ask questions, right, about what their experiences have been, if they've gone to therapy before, what are their ideas about therapy, what are the folks that are in their support system's ideas, because sometimes I'll get clients who will say things like, no one knows that I'm here, right, I can't tell my family, or even in some cases, you know, relative to religion or spirituality, it's, you know, well, my, you know, religious affiliation, folks don't really believe in the idea of therapy. That's important for me to know. Because it's going to inform, right, at least how they're coming into the space. So I like to just have conversations in those first session for sure, but sessions, Now, certainly, depending on where I'm working, and I've worked both in hospitals and community mental health, but more so in private practice, so I do have a little bit of a luxury of sort of slowing the pace down for folks and trying to get a sense of where they are, talking to them a little bit about who I am and how I practice. And then, as I said, you know, asking some questions about their direct experiences. For some individuals, maybe they tried therapy and had bad experiences, and I want to acknowledge those. Answer any questions, you know, that they may have, because it will really inform them about things they need to pay attention to in themselves. I also say explicitly to people, you know, towards the point about this being a relationship that needs to be a match, is that, you know, give it 4 to 6 sessions is honestly what I say, unless you have any red flags. Like, if you go to meet with someone and immediately, you know, there feels like there's something off, or you don't feel like you can kind of sit. I always say to people, there's a difference between this being new and different and you feeling like this immediately, right, is not a good fit for you. And I'm not going to be offended by that, because I agree. The way that I practice, my personality, and I'm explicit with, you know, my clients, you know, and sort of ask them, you know, are you a client that might need, you know, more feedback? Because I'm listening in the beginning, and I want you to know it's not as if I'm not going to engage you, but I'm trying to take in a lot of information. So I both try to prep people and provide some information about what to expect. But also let them know, I will check back in with you in, say, 4 sessions and ask you, how is this going for you? And I encourage more therapists to do that. I would agree with what was said earlier.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We're actually up against the break. And it's okay. a perfect segue. Again, thanks, Coach Demikos. We got him back on in reference to just the idea of having that good fit. And sometimes you can have a bad therapist. So during this cut, we're going to hear about what that looks like. Again, just dialoguing through, are you honest with your therapist? And that can play a role in it. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good, it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about 5 warning signs that you're seeing a bad therapist. Let's just jump right into it. I heard from a lot of you that you are seeing someone who hasn't been working for you or something bad has happened. And so I think it's important for us to talk about, how do we know when we're seeing a bad therapist? And the first is that we feel like we have to prove something. Like, they don't really believe you when you say you're having a hard time or you're struggling with X, Y, or Z. And so we therefore try to make it worse because we feel like we need to prove how sick we are. Second, and something that would drive me crazy, is that they don't remember anything. They never remember what we talked about last. They don't remember what your sister's name was or what you did or what the whole reason that you're here and that one thing that you talked about a few weeks ago. They just don't remember anything, and it makes you feel like they're not even listening. The third is one that I actually talked about in a previous video, ethics in therapy, but that is when your therapist allows you to text, call, or email them anytime, and they get right back to you. And the reason this isn't good is because it actually creates a really unhealthy relationship and makes you completely dependent on your therapist versus the healthy thing, which is, I'm going to teach you some tips and tricks, and then you go out in the world and you practice, come back and let me know how it goes. And obviously, there is the caveat that if we are suicidal, there may be a safety plan in place where we call or text our therapist when we're feeling like we're a danger to ourselves, and then they may meet us at the hospital or something like that. The fourth sign, and one that I don't think people talk about enough, is if you just chat like friends and you never work on anything. You don't actually get anything done. There's no treatment plan. There's no goals. We're not really working towards anything. We're just kind of paying to hang out. And in truth, that's not therapy at all. Now, obviously, if we've been working with our therapist for a long time and now we're doing well and we find ourselves having less and less to talk about, congratulations. That means that you've met all your goals and it's time to stop therapy for a while. But if we've never worked through anything or met any of our goals and we're just chatting like friends, then I think it's time to find somebody else. Fifth and final warning sign that you have a bad therapist is that they talk about themselves a lot. This is your time. I know that it feels weird at first because we're used to conversations being two-way, but in therapy, it's all about the client.
if I'm wanting to talk about myself, what that really means is, as a therapist, I need to get in therapy. Because if I can't give you your whole hour and focus on you and your progress, then I'm not being a therapist at all.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? Our special guest are Dr. Merriam, as well as Coach D'Amico's, both of our special guests. If you're on the phone line, you do have to press 1. If you want to get in and have a question for our professionals or just want to give your experience, if you're out there listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, 646-787-1691. Again, glad to have you, Dr. Merriam and Coach D'Amico's. Again, you kind of mentioned it a little earlier, Coach D'Amico's, the idea of, you know, the right fit. And we just heard a cut just breaking down, in a sense, what people should, in a sense, use as a warning sign or whether they're having a good session a good experience. And Dr. Merriam pointed out that she recommends, you know, maybe up to 4 sessions to really figure it out, because and that makes sense to me. But again, you said this is not spoken about enough, and I definitely have heard of people who have mentioned having the bad experience, and for them, that's their decision to, in a sense, never return to therapy, although they probably still really need it. So any thoughts on that, King, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, you hear it too often. It's very similar to those who try MLMs, and then they lose all that money and say, well, maybe being a business owner isn't for me. You know, it's one of those things where the onus is definitely on the practitioners, the clinicians, the coaches, to definitely not forget that this is a customer service business. We have to focus on the customer satisfaction and customer production at the same time. We don't want them in there wasting money. We don't want them in there only feeling like, especially with couples, feeling like we're only just focusing on one particular person in the relationship and the other person not getting full usefulness out of it as well. So it definitely takes, continuous cultivation of the practice overall. So, the thing that I try to do with black men is I try to always tell them the real. Tell them the real from a black man's perspective, not from a sugar-coated perspective of something that sounds good and feels good or super overly positive, and nothing that's going to seem like I'm trying to garner attention from women. But I tell them the real, and a lot of black men gravitate to that. So what they do, they usually end up inboxing me, DMing me, setting up sessions, et cetera, and just following me because they are black men really want the help. And black men are coming. I'm noticing that the black male clients that I get actually pay more than my women clients. Women just buy more at a frequent rate, but at a lesser tier. So they buy the smaller items, the seminars, the books, et cetera. But the black men who come along, they want to pay for the full premier package. Because, and I say that because there's a stigma within the practice itself that where a lot of therapists, a lot of clinicians, a lot of coaches don't cater to or make their content tailored towards men, especially black men, because they feel like, well, they're not the consumers because they don't show up in the consumer reports. Well, if you do enough business within the sector, you start to find out, oh, men are there. It's just that they're not going to be the ones tuning in into all the free knick-knack stuff. Because when a man comes to you, they're really needing help and ready to pay whatever cost there is. And just one more thing, I even had a client, this is how much compatibility matters the most, and you have to stick to your guns as to who you are as the type of clinician, coach, counselor. I had a client say he's 50 years old. He came to me. He did a session with Kevin Samuels, and then he did a session with me. And he ended up choosing to go with me for his health over Kevin Samuels. And that's not speaking. I love Kevin Samuels. I love his work. It's not to speak one over the other, but it speaks to how much compatibility matters in being able to practice and being able to help people. when it comes to the clients out there, especially men. So it has to match. Kevin Samuels isn't saying that either one of us couldn't have helped him. It's just that I'm a little bit more laid back, a little bit more also straight to the point. I'm just not as abrasive verbally as Kevin is, and that's cool. We just have different styles, and so but that speaks to compatibility. Because how do you know Kevin and think himself?
No, it makes sense. That makes sense. I heard Dr. Merriman, you kind of made a comment before we go to the caller. Go ahead and jump in, Queen, and then we're going to get to the caller after your thoughts.
I think I agree wholeheartedly with what was said, especially the piece around I like to tell people that we've got to reframe the narrative because I agree. Mm-hmm. While there's maybe some stigma, I always had a waiting list. And so I would, say to folks that people, particularly, folks of color, black people are interested and invested. What they want is to work with someone that they do feel connected with, that they do feel they can bring them their full selves into the room with, and that, if anything, as we look at the profession, that's where we need to sort of challenge ourselves. Because I didn't, and again, having worked in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and now, in the Georgia area, never had an issue, black men, black women, in terms of individuals that were wanting therapy. Versus, again, their experiences with other individuals or finding that, there was something missing from the relationship. So I was just sort of saying, in terms of, if you're working in the sector and connected to people, people will find you and seek you out, and absolutely they are committed and desiring the assistance.
No, it makes sense. I definitely consistently hear that with the therapists that we have with the community checkup, because it's basically a bridge to therapy, and we get people. And the reality is, a couple of our therapists, the waiting list is so long. I'm always concerned, man, where you get help. And but I think there's in reality, when it comes to African Americans, there's no shortage, because what I understand, y'all are about 4% of the industry, if you will, specifically on the the psychology side, and the doctorate level, we're about 4%. So we definitely can imagine, because a lot of our community would like to have therapy with someone who looks like them. Let's go to the caller that just got in. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. Let's go to 478, last 3303. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion question.
Peace, brother. How you feeling? It's Sincere out of Atlanta.
Hey, what's up, King? Let me highlight, this is the brother that helped put together the community checkup. So thank you, King, for being part of this morning's discussion. What you got for us, King?
Hey, I believe it's a great topic that you guys are covering. And shout out to everybody that's on the call. Great information. And I just like to say to the topic, one of the things that I cover with my clients as a holistic relationship coach is truth is paramount in the healing process. So just make sure that you're able to open up. I'm going to create an environment for that, but I want to create a consciousness and an awareness around the fact that once you expose your truth, pathway to freedom from a holistic standpoint. So it is absolutely vital, because we pick and choose oftentimes what we want to give, and that's in the relationship building process, absolutely. But it's just having that goal of being able to open up, be truthful, be honest, so the healing can take shape and take place.
No, that's perfect, man. Great added 3 cents, and really, really do appreciate you for those thoughts. Sincere. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you go, King, but appreciate you for getting in this morning. Part of what he said kind of reminded me of just something as I was promoting this morning's discussion, the idea of even when he, again, Sincere is an amazing relationship coach here in the Atlanta area, but him just mentioning the idea of truth. And I've heard of couples, in a sense, going to get counseling, and one of them saying, "Hey, my spouse is not being honest in the session. So how are we going to save this? Or how are we going to recover? Because my spouse will not be honest." Have you ran into that, Dr. Merriman? We got about a minute before we go to our break, but if you just kind of start your thoughts, and I'll cut in, and we'll get back to it coming out of the break. Mm-hmm. But quick thoughts on the other spouses being dishonest in the sessions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I certainly enjoy doing couple work, but at the same time, you know, it can be complex. And it is, you know, sort of that conversation of thinking about two different people's, you know, perceptions of maybe a situation versus, you know, more of an issue where in working with, you know, a couple of therapists that the full kind of context or background of a situation may not be shared. And I think, you know, for me, there's different ways that couple therapists handle that. In some cases, I might recommend openly, you know, sort of having a session with each person to kind of hear that perspective, but only with the agreement, right, that we come back together. And that we are willing to share what happened in, you know, in both of the individual sessions. So not that I'm there to keep secrets alongside, you know, if that's an issue, so to speak. But sometimes it can be helpful to give just a little bit of breathing room so that a person can share their entire experience, right, with you without having to navigate, at least in a particular moment, the space with both parties being present. Again, that's not longstanding, but it may be something that we do intentionally depending on what the situation is, and so that I can kind of get a sense of what's going on. But also the goal in the work is to come back together and to have, you know, both of those truths, so to speak, be heard, to be able to create the space for, you know, for the truth to emerge, so to speak, so that we can work towards some healing.
No, it makes sense. For the caller that just came off of one, you have to stay on the one to get back in. For the callers out there listening, you do have to press one to let us know you want to speak. We are up against the break. There is a cut that's going to take us kind of in a different direction, although I do want to kind of flesh out some of this couple stuff, because there's so many people, in a sense, that before they got a divorce, they had counseling, and so and the counseling, in a sense, couldn't save them. So I kind of want to dialogue about that. And Dr. Miriam, I know you only have a limit for the first hour, and so I don't even know if we can really do that and what you're about to hear in this cut, but we'll try to pull it off. Listen to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me, cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Today we're going to clean up the infection. We're going to tell the truth. Mr. Monzel, in your lie detector test, you were asked, did you have any sexual contact with any of your three daughters? You said no, and the lie detector said there was no deception.
Yes, thank God.
How does that feel for you? And that your daughters know it.
Well, I felt they always did know it.
You felt they always did know it.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't speak it because?
They didn't know no better. They wasn't told no different.
Miss Yvonne took a lie detector test and said, did you make up or exaggerate any stories with the intention to harm Monzel? She responded no, and the answer was deceptive. Then he asked you, did you say something to the effect of, I'm going to make sure you're never happy again? She responded, no, and the answer was deceptive. So, Miss Yvonne has acknowledged that her story about you touching your children in a sexual way was not true. So, Miss Yvonne, is there anything that you wanted to say to Mr. Monzel? Why didn't you fight for them harder if you knew you didn't do it? And what is it that he could have said that would have made you not believe the lie you were telling? Miss Yvonne, you told the lie. It was a lie, and you told it.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? First hour guest, Dr. Miriam, as well as Coach D'Amico's riding with me throughout as we hear a cut from Ayanna's Van Zant's Fix My Life. To give a little context, I was actually looking for another cut and found that one. I was like, wow, I'm going to share it, which always happens anytime we're doing a show. When I'm trying to find cuts for the show, I always find stuff that just pops up that are relevant to the show. And that one was unique because a topic that quite often, I'm pretty sure for you, Dr. Miriam, comes up for people that have childhood trauma, in a sense, related to, you know, sexual violence and things of this nature. But it was unique because it was a false accusation. And the thing that stood out the most for me was, unfortunately, the man's ex-wife, when first kind of exposed after taking a lot of detector tests, her first initial response was, why didn't you fight for them harder, still in a denial state and kind of just wanting to, you know, I think that's fair enough in reference to what we were just talking about going into the break, was how maybe someone can be in denial and how it really harms relationships. But obviously this is a deeper discussion and quite often I'm pretty sure it's hard to delve into and help people with their therapy. So really just kind of jump in where you fit in, Dr. Miriam, and obviously Coach D, because I want to get your thoughts as well. For the callers, you do have to press one if you want to speak. Thank y'all for listening. Go ahead, Dr. Miriam.
Yeah, no, I think, as you said, this, you know, really deep issue as I was listening to it. I had not seen that episode of Ayanna. Certainly have seen others. I mean, the things that immediately, you know, came to mind for me, it sort of reminded me of the comment that I made earlier about the beginning of the show, just about that idea of, are people really honest with themselves or even in a position, right, to sort of sit with the notion of maybe they're not being dishonest. So this, as you said, goes in a little bit of a different direction. And certainly for the woman who was speaking in that case and reacting in that particular way, a lot of the first thing that came to mind for me is, yes, definitely needing some of her own individual space to do some work there, because the immediate defense, right, that came up was sort of denial and really detraction from, right, the issue at hand that Ayanna was trying to point out, which was the dishonesty that was happening. So those are definitely complex, you know, sort of longer-term cases when I think about even, you know, clients that are families that I've worked with where there are kind of deeper issues, and in some cases for couples, right, deeper individual issues that also need to be addressed if there is, you know, an attempt or any effort towards working at something within the relationship. Those are just my initial thoughts in hearing that.
No, absolutely. Coach D'Amico's, if you will, again, talking about the couples, you even mentioned the idea of, in a sense, couples having an issue where it seems like the therapist may be listening to one or more than the other. I've definitely heard of couples who went to counseling more than once, and part of that reasoning, at least hearing one side of the story, was because they didn't like that the therapist was calling out, in a sense, calling them out. And so now, and I'll say in a lot of cases, if the woman feels like the therapist is siding with the man, she wants another therapist. Again, that's just the way I've heard of it in my own personal life, and I'm not saying that's the only way that it happens, but that's how I've heard it relative into my own life. And so again, you being in this space for Black men, you know, how does what I'm saying, have you experienced that or seen that, where the therapist could be a perfect therapist or a good therapist, but just that unwillingness to be honest with themselves keeps or hinders or stops the therapy?
Yeah, so what's interesting about that, so for one, I haven't done couples in the same session yet. I either get one of the spouses reaching out to me about one of the spouses having the session. So it's either the wife or the husband is saying, okay, you know, recommended each other. So, but what I will say is that what's interesting is these dynamics where these couples get in these sessions is that, you know, there's always a game of risk being played, or risk calculation being played in these sessions that they're having with these clinicians, because you have a partner who's afraid to, you know, divulge things about the spouse in front of the spouse, and that could lead to consequences outside of the session. And especially when they feel like the issue isn't getting resolved or worked on within the session, compounded on that person not feeling like their voice is being equally heard or concerned about. So those are the dynamic factors that, you know, hinders the productivity of couples feel like they're making with clinicians or coaches outside the sessions. I will also say that each within the relationships, each of them have to recognize that though they are a couple in their journey in life together, they're still operating it. A joint goal as still two individuals. So there's two different types of traumas and life goals and aspirations and identities and interests, et cetera, that the two worlds have to collide in and to make things work. So that's one thing that couples have to also recognize. You are still yourself, even though you're journeying, you know, this life together. You're still yourself, so you have to recognize and respect that, and honor what comes out the wash in your spouse dealing with a clinician. You know, it's not a backlash or a hindrance on how you are as a partner, but more so how they're experiencing on top of their previous experiences. So that's one thing I would definitely give advice to a lot of couples out there, is don't take what comes out the wash so personal or as a personal reflection of how you are in the relationship and as a person, because we're all our own.
Now, that's excellent advice, man. Again, I just love and Dev, one of our pillars for the Mental Dialogue Community Club for those who are members and those out there listening that want to become members, go to mentaldialogue.com, unshameless plug there. But if you will, one of our pillars is encouraging strong Black families. And one thing as a part of that is encouraging counseling, not in a sense just quite often spiritual counseling that people will receive prior to marriage, but we actually recommend that you consider sitting down with a professional counselor prior to your marriage. We got a couple of minutes with you, Dr. Merriam. So any thoughts on that advice that we're giving to our community club members? We'd love to hear your thoughts on it as a professional. I think it would actually, in a sense, could be more vital to the relationship and not to, you know, go against spiritual training, but add this on as a possible step prior to the marriage. Any thoughts on that, Queenie? We've got a couple of minutes. In that couple of minutes, and share your information on how people can stay in contact with you, because you have been wonderful, by the way. So go ahead, Queenie. Thank you for being with us.
No, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, one of the reasons, although I, you know, had interest in working with, as I said, you know, kids, adolescents, and families, just based on my training and growing, you know, expertise in the field, you know, over the past 20 years, I started working with, you know, couples long before I myself, you know, was married to my life partner. But I'll sort of share this piece I'm comfortable with in terms of self-disclosure. From the perspective of a therapist working with couples professionally and as a person, you know, that identifies, you know, spiritually as well, I agree. I often hear clients talk about the fact that they, you know, may engage in, you know, premarital counseling through their religious or spiritual community, but also wanting increasingly someone that can offer a different perspective for them in terms of navigating what are some conversations we need to have or should be thinking about prior to marriage, in addition to just being excited, right? And I often, you know, in premarital counseling, one of the reasons why I decided to focus on that explicitly was based on that feedback. And I would say later in life, even based on, you know, my experience trying to get premarital counseling. And for some folks, when we saw several people
ourselves in an attempt to get premarital counseling, and found that some clinicians were like, well, you all don't have a problem, so come back when you do. And that was so not my mindset. I mean, there's so many ways in which to approach proactively encouraging couples, you know, to ask them questions, to prompt them to have discussions. As I said, that sometimes it's the love and the passion and the desire and the goal, but to the point that was made earlier, can be really helpful to have someone who's worked with couples that sometimes, you know, are in distress, but sort of have a different purview to really sit down and ask you, you know, have you thought about kind of your individual histories and what that means as you attempt to come together as two individuals? How do you plan, right, to maintain a sense of self and a sense of individuality while working towards having a common goal, you know, within the relationship? How do you continue to, right, grow individually and collectively? Those kinds of conversations can be really important. If folks are thinking about starting families or bringing together families, how have you thought about, right, your own histories and what it may mean in terms of caretaking and parenting, et cetera, so that, you know, these are conversations you can start and that will likely evolve. Over time.
It.
So I
yeah.
I love the advice, and I agree wholeheartedly.
No, thank you. No, I'm glad. Yeah, I love it. But with that said, we are at the top of the hour. You can stay on with us. I told you I'll let you stay on. And I'm loving what you're doing, and we have actually another therapist coming on with us. Jari Cotman, licensed certified social worker and clinical, so she'll be on the next hour. So Glenn, we'd love to keep you on if you want to stay on with us, Dr. Miriam. But with that said, just in case you do have to go, go ahead and let people know how they can the best way to contact you or follow up with you and get advice or therapy from you.
Sure. I would say the best way, I do have a professional Instagram account, and it is at mindfield, so MINDFIELD _ Dr. J. That's probably a good way to get in contact with me. Also on Facebook, I'm at Dr. Maryam Jernigan, MaryamJernigan. And even just Googling my name, Maryam Jernigan, will bring you to my professional website, which has my contact information here in Atlanta. But I do appreciate you having me on. I would love to, you know, feel free to be in contact in the future. I love the platform, love what you're doing, love the dialogue.
No, thank you very much. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Are you trying to figure out your next income stream? Maybe get into cryptocurrency, real estate, or maybe even start your own business. If so, contact the KG Hire Company to receive a professional consultation or strategy session to provide you the advice you need to get a jump start on your new venture. If it's a new business, there's nothing like having a business consultant review your finances, strategy, or marketing. If it's real estate, the KG Hire Company specializes in evaluating deals for profitability and securing special financing for creative real estate acquisitions. If it's cryptocurrency, then look no further than the KG Hire Company to master the components of blockchain technology and investing into cryptocurrency. Serving Atlanta since 2016, the KG Hire Company is an industry leader in customer experience and getting your money's worth. Contact them at kghire.com or 833-544-9288. Again, that's 833-544-9288.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. So you hear a cut from Taylor Pace's Morning, one of my favorite cuts from one of our sponsors, Square Business Entertainment, providing a little music to go with our talk show this morning. Again, go look up Taylor Pace and Morning on all music streaming platforms. Love that cut. Love what they're doing with that real R&B, as I like to say. But this morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? Just had a wonderful time with Dr. Merriam. Still have on Coach D'Amico's. Now I would like to bring on Jaree Cotman. Ms. Queen is with an extensive background in counseling as well. And so we'll get her introduced and continue this morning's discussion as well. Let me bring her live here. Here we go. How you doing, Jaree? Thank you, Queen, for being with us. If you will, say hello to the truth seekers out there. Give people a little bit of your background as we continue this morning's discussion. Are you honest with your therapist? Thank you for being with us, Queen.
Thank you, Montoya. Thank you so much for inviting me and offering the opportunity to share on your show today. I'm glad you created this platform so that we can continue to have these important conversations around mental health and wellness. And all the complexities that come with that in between. So should I share about me?
Absolutely. Please do. Let them know you qualified to do this discussion this morning. We got a lot of callers out there for the callers. You do have to press one if y'all want to get in on this morning's discussion or ask our professionals a question. But go ahead, Queen.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I am Jaree Cotman. I am in Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm a licensed clinical social worker and mental health therapist. I've been doing this work, I guess, professionally for about the last 9 years. However, as many of us who enter this field, we know that we are often called to it way before we ever get the formal education and the training to be helpers and healers by nature. It is, in my view, a calling. And not something that I take lightly or take for granted. And so I have my master's degree in social work from Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm grateful to have had that foundation in really being able to shape my work and my practice from an African-centered perspective, an Afrocentric perspective, focusing on providing culturally relevant care and services to Black people. And so I'm unapologetic about that and really grateful for the way that I am able to show up authentically in my work. And so I have a private practice in Baltimore, which is AFYA Counseling and Wellness. AFYA, A-F-Y-A, is a Swahili word that means complete wellness. And that is really the center of my work, really bridging the gap between mind and body and spirit and, the convergence of all those places and inviting the space for people to just really recognize the sense of well-being. So when we talk about being honest with your therapist, that is like the heart and core of my work. And so I really think that is important that we're able to do that, whether we are consumers or practitioners. And sometimes if we're honest, practitioners are consumers. I work with lots of, other clinicians in the field and have engaged as a consumer myself and, at different points in my life. So I think it's important to have that honesty for sure.
No, I love it. So you are in, I love the unapologetically Black. You are in the right place at the right time. So definitely appreciate that aspect. Coach D'Amico's himself, again, focuses heavily on Black men in that space. Again, for the listeners out there, if you're just enjoying listening, no problem. We do have people listening via the phone. If you want to get in or have a question, if you feel like you've been on hold, it's because you haven't pressed one. I'd like to make that very clear. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You will need to press one to let us know that you want to speak for this morning's discussion question. Are you honest with your therapist? So let's dive in. There's a tendency for a lot of people, again, we just kind of opened the discussion this morning about even the idea of just the idea of having to be honest sometimes stops people from even getting therapy, even before we get to the point of whether you're honest within the therapy session or not. And so what a lot of people tend to do who haven't taken that step but are definitely know that they're experiencing some issues that, you know, in a sense, they may need a little more help with versus their, in a sense, what they've normally done. And there's a tendency, in a sense, to lean on friends, or especially those friends that you can, if you will, trust with some of your more intimate things and some things people have never shared, right? But for those friends that you can trust with, people will kind of decide, okay, I think I may need therapy, but I have this relationship with this friend who I've shared everything with. And a lot of times they don't want to realize, one, it's unfair to the friend. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, the friend is not professionally qualified to give them an answer to this continuous issue. So there's a tendency still, in a sense, to be more honest with the friend sometimes than the clinician. Any thoughts on that, if you will? Jareed, again, thank you for being with us, Queen.
Sure, absolutely. Oftentimes I'll even have people reach out to me that I maybe have another relationship with, and they say, oh, Jareed, you're a therapist. Can you be my therapist? And my answer is always no, because I'd be biased. You know, if you're in my life and I know you personally, then the reality is more than likely I like you and I value you and I appreciate you. And while I do have a value and appreciation for my clients and those that I work with, it's a different perspective. It's a different way to work. And so when we enter into the therapeutic relationship, because it is a relationship, we are really starting from scratch. One of the most beautiful things that I love to witness from beginning to end, you know, when we first meet, we're doing the intake session. And so I'm getting to know, you know, your mom and daddy and them and who was there and who wasn't and, you know, what that experience was like for you. And you know, sometimes regardless of when we interact or meet people in our lives, we may be just getting a portion of that journey or a portion of their lives. And so entering into that therapeutic arrangement and that relationship, you get to start from the beginning. And you get a chance to set goals and talk about really what you hope to be different, you know, or change as a result of that work that you're putting in into this relationship. So it's not quite the same as talking with a friend. It can feel friendly. I have quite a few long-term clients. I've been in private practice for a little over 4 years now, and I do have some folks that have been, you know, rolling with me for, you know, maybe a significant chunk of that time. And so we've been able to sort of witness and experience a lot of life changes and life cycles together. But oftentimes it's a lot of dot connecting. I can witness, you know, prayers being answered and affirmations, you know, being fulfilled and intentions, you know, coming to life and all of that, you know, in the therapeutic relationship. So while it can be friendly, it's not quite the same as actually, you know, talking with a friend. It's not the same as, you know, conversely, you know, a therapist is not a friend. Again, it is somebody who you can have that type of rapport with, but it's not quite the same. It's a little different.
No, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, it's a burden quite often. You know, sometimes for those friends to, in a sense, keep hearing the redundant stories, because like you just mentioned, in therapy, you're setting goals, you're trying to reach something with your friend. They're typically obviously wanting to get better and give you better advice, if you will, but it's not set out in a practical, pragmatic, I guess I should say, manner. Coach D'Amico's, your thoughts on, you know, in a sense, this idea of people leaning on friends versus coming to someone like yourself, and what's going to be different, you know, versus leaning on that friend constantly.
Right. So one of the things is that, you know, when you start practicing this, you learn fast that it's hard to be the saying, it's hard to be a leader in your own town. Especially in your own household, you know that even being a parent, you know, or even a mentor. It's one of those things where, like, once you started, you've begun this work, you've already kind of been that person that everyone comes to for advice anyway, you know, before you even started practicing in the field. But as you become a professional, you learn to that has to be a separation from the personal relationship and the professional one. So all you, as the counselor just mentioned, yeah, you don't have to take on your friends as clients. You know, it's funny because when I talk to my friends even now about issues that they're going through, they're like, wait, hold on, before we start this conversation, I want you to know I don't want a bill. I don't want you to charge me. Or, you know, a woman would be like, I don't want you to coach me. So, you know, it is always funny like this. Like, no, you know. But so, you know, you get those things. But it's going to even be hard for a person to receive the direction or the guidance that you're giving them because of the dilution of the friendship. So, and even with my clients, I'm really cool with a lot of my clients. You know, a lot of my clients still follow me to this day. We've been invited to weddings, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all gravy. But there's even still a line there that I won't cross because it would impede the work that's been done or has been done in the past. So, you have to keep those things separate. There's no such thing as, you know, my coach or my therapist or, you know, my counselor is my best friend. You know, if they are your best friend, you got a problem.
Right. Yeah, that was mentioned in the last hour. Absolutely. Yeah. To avoid that, or how do you know if you have a bad therapist? And if it feels like that, then you've definitely delved and kind of, in a sense, crossed those lines. So it makes a lot of sense. We're actually up against our break here. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Well, all I ask is that you think. Again, if you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. I see some callers out there. If you're wanting to get in, definitely press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good, it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
If you love black culture and black class, Kings and Queens, Delisa Designs is presenting the fashion show of the year. The evening will be one to remember, featuring Atlanta's finest dancers, drummers, singers, poets, and last but not least, some of Atlanta's finest designers, including Delisa Designs. Dinner, drinks, and after party will all take place at the beautiful Dawn Event Hall, located at 3201 Atlanta Industrial Parkway, Northwest Atlanta, on Sunday, July 11th at 4 p.m. Tickets and vendor booths are available on Eventbrite.com. Search for the Sunrise Fashion Show or contact Delisa at 404-453-5865. Again, that's 404-453-5865. I promise you, you don't want to miss this show.
We are outside. We are outside. So highly recommend that you check out the Sunrise Fashion Show coming up in a few weeks here. I'll probably be trying to check that out. But speaking of being outside for the Mr. Dollar Community Club, if you are in the Atlanta area, tonight at 7:30, we will be enjoying Jazz in the Alley, put on by the Sister Ziggy, her event. We're going to go support. It's our first time getting together since February of last year in this damn pandemic. And so I'm glad to, looking forward to seeing people. If you are a Mental Dialogue member, encouraging you to wear your t-shirt. Coach D'Amico's, I don't know if you're tied up this evening, but you are a Mental Dialogue member. We would like to highlight that fact. And if you're not, you know, come hang out with us this evening at Jazz in the Alley at the historic North Cross downtown area. Looking forward to that. But this morning's discussion question: are you honest with your therapist? Special guest Jaree Cotman, as well as Coach D'Amicos. Been having a lovely dialogue. Again, have some callers out there. If you're just enjoying and listening via phone, no problem. If you want to get in and give us your 3 cents or ask a question of our professionals, you know, please press one to get in on this morning's discussion. Jaree, again, glad to have you with us. I'm going to start back with you in reference to, again, just talking about that dynamic of, in a sense, not leaning on friends, but you mentioned the idea that you have had a couple of long-term clients, and that reminded me, mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard in the first hour, we were mentioning that something that we do as a part of the community club and part of the arts and culture show, we come together, both of these communities come together, and we do an event every last Thursday via Zoom called the Community Checkup, Y'all All Right. And one of the things that one of our therapists highlighted, and I love this session, was the idea of that a lot of the people that we admire and look up to, they have people like yourself, people like a Coach D'Amicos in their lives, even when they're doing well, because quite often y'all can, in a sense, help maintain a high level of performance. And so while we've talked about, in a sense, therapy in a lot of ways this morning, one thought is, and I never thought of it until a community checkup event where one of the therapists highlighted, you can use therapy to maintain your performance, not just when you're needing help. So any thoughts, again, in reference to that, because you mentioned that some of your clients reaching these different goals and plateaus and they're still with you. So any thoughts on that, Queen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really honestly like one of the biggest joys that I get from the work is being able to witness all of these milestones and these changes that happen in people's lives over the course of 1, 2, 3, and even 4 years. And so, you know, honestly, I come from the lens of you don't work to come that far just to get that far. And so it requires a continued investment of your time, of your energy, and sometimes even your money. You know, we were talking earlier about the difference between that relationship. And one of those biggest changes and differences is that you invest in it financially. Even people that I see pro bono, I ask that maybe you pay something that shows that you're committed to this process and to this work, even if it's just a small amount, that it's not completely without a cost. Even if you have insurance, maybe you have a copay or something like that that's part of the investment. And so it's that investment of time and energy that you commit to this work. And so just because you have reached and achieved a certain status in your life, it doesn't mean that there's not still room for therapy and that therapeutic work, because with new goals and new heights and new levels comes, you know, new experiences and new things that you have to encounter. And so sometimes there are people who transition to more of like a maintenance mode, and maybe they're not meeting as often as you once did, maybe once or twice, once a week or twice a month. Maybe you scale back to once a month or even quarterly types of visits or as needed to sort of check in and keep that refining process going. I don't know how many times I hear people say, "Wow, Jaree, I never thought of that." Or when you put it like that, that makes a lot of sense. And it's just the ability to process through your own thoughts, your own feelings, and recognize how things are impacting you so that you can continue to grow into a space that feels good and keep elevating. You know, and as you change and as you shift, the things that you attract shift, and the people that you're encountering and the way you engage and all those things change. So it's definitely critical, I think, to keep it going. So, but I'm there. You know, I used the analogy earlier this week with one of my long-term clients. You know, like when we were first starting to work together, I was like, it's like riding a bike. You know, I was holding on while she was trying to pedal and trying to get her balance together. And there were times where I was a little nervous, and I was like, I'm gonna see if I can let go. But she's riding now, you know, she's soaring. And I told her, I'm going to take a step back, you know, so we scaled back from twice a month to once a month. And I said, I'm going to take a step back. I'm still here. If you fall and you need some more guidance, I'm still here. I'm not completely going away. But remember everything that we've worked on. Remember all those skills that we've built on in this time that we've been working together. So, yeah, I like using stories and metaphors and analogies and things like that in the work because it just makes it make a little bit more sense. So
that makes a lot of sense.
It's all good with me.
So now you got her competing in the X Games now on the bike, doing all kind of tricks. And
yeah,
stuff.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Like, come on, you got it. You can do this.
I love it. Coach DeBicos, yeah. You're always constantly talking about this, and it relates directly to this morning's discussion when we say, are you honest with your therapist? A lot of times you, again, addressing specifically, as you call yourself, that fear coach. I'm pretty sure a lot of your work with your clients includes, in a sense, that being honest, that honesty, the honesty with themselves, not just honesty with you, but being honest with themselves to break through or to say, hey, here's been your mental block for why, in a sense, you're not able to soar. Because, again, therapy doesn't have to be used only when things are going bad. But, again, I know you are quite encouraging people to reach heights and reach their goals and be the things that they want to be. And you're always addressing that fear that they have within themselves. And so, again, it's about being honest with yourself. So any thoughts or, in a sense, that work and how you're doing that and helping people excel within their own lives and eventually, you know, not only becoming who they should be, but I know you also encourage a lot of the brothers to go, you know, find them a wife and make a family, you know, after in a sense they've gotten themselves in order, if you will. I always see you encouraging that. So your thoughts on that, King?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting because, you know, clients always get in, it never fails. They, especially during the initial consultation, they get in there and they leave with their ego. You know, they want to, because it's a very hard thing to go out and seek the help. And then it's another level to have to really admit to the issue that you're having. And then an even deeper level to admit to the accountability that you have to claim and in order to foster change of this issue that you're having. So, clients live to the ego all the time, but this is why I say it goes down to being a quality a coach, a clinician, because you have to ask the right questions. The truth, no matter how dishonest a person can be, most people, I would say, the truth will always reveal itself, especially when you ask the right questions, because it's going to always lead to whatever that source is. And that source issue for a client. So, yeah, I mean, the clients try to, you know, masquerade thing. Especially, you know, dealing with men and talking to men, it's interesting because I think the thing that I try to do is have intimate conversations, especially on my social media, in a public setting. And it's hard to get a lot of men and women co-ed to get men to be vulnerable. Like, yeah, man, this is what I'm experiencing, this is what I'm going through, et cetera. So my page on the front end, I throw those really tough conversations out there. I throw those really tough thoughts out there. And, you know, I let whatever happens, whatever people have thoughts have to say on the outside, you know, leave their comments, because I know everybody's leading with their ego. But on the inside, I get men DM me all the time. Issues that they're going through, of a post that spoke to them. I mean, constantly I'm even getting men who weren't cigar smokers, you know, now doing cigars. You know, and they send me their cigar updates. So it's one of those things where I definitely want to encourage the professionals out there. Don't get discouraged by the confrontation you may see as you're promoting yourself, as you're putting yourself out there. Don't get discouraged by what you see by the commentators. Because trust and believe, your work is touching somebody and making a difference with somebody. And that needs to be the overall agenda, not a popularity contest, you know. So not to get everybody to see that you're right, you know. It's to make these differences offline, or that have offline impacts. So, yeah, that's my thought.
No, it makes sense. And, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it was an end to the means, or however a means to the end, I think is how you say that. And so, yeah, sometimes people may confuse, you know, in a sense, how you're doing your work, if you will, from an online perspective. Makes a lot of sense. We got like a minute and a half before break, so I want to definitely start down this path. I was promoting on IG and Facebook, and one of the questions I threw out was just the idea for African Americans, if you will. Matter of fact, I've seen this week from another friend. It just mentioned the idea that for the most part that we as African Americans need therapy, and obviously that can be related to some of the bigger issues or systemic issues that we see in the country. And so I definitely want to get hot and heavy into just how y'all feel about that as individual therapists in reference to our community. And we also got, I think, Brother Calvin from South Carolina, where I'm from, wanting to get in as well. So we're going to go to this break and then kind of explore from a collective standpoint, again, great advice for individuals who may have been fearful and the idea of how honesty is the key to you having success in therapy. But let's talk about it, if you will, from a collective standpoint as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Enjoy this cut again from Taylor Pace, one of my favorite cuts, Morning. We'll be right back.
This at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes. And I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit. And what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money. Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk. They still know it's me, cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like
money. Are you trying to figure out your next income stream? Maybe get into cryptocurrency, real estate, or maybe even start your own business. If so, contact the KG Hire Company to receive a professional consultation or strategy session to provide you the advice you need to get a jump start on your new venture. If it's a new business, there's nothing like having a business consultant review your finances, strategy, or marketing. If it's real estate, the KG Hire Company specializes in evaluating deals for profitability and securing special financing for creative real estate acquisitions. If it's cryptocurrency, then look no further than the KG Hire Company to master the components of blockchain technology and investing into cryptocurrency. Serving Atlanta since 2016, the KG Hire Company is an industry leader in customer experience and getting your money's worth. Contact them at kghire.com or 833-544-9288. Again, that's 833-544-9288.
KG Hire, one of our new sponsors, KG Hire Company. Please check them out at kghyatt.com. This morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? Special guest, Jeri Cotman, as well as Coach D'Amico's. We got Brother Kevin out of South Carolina on the line for the other caller. If you want to get in, you do have to press 1. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. And again, press 1 to let us know you want to speak and give us your 3 cents. Kevin, what's going on, King? How you doing this morning? What you got for us this morning?
What's going on, Kings and Queens? Now that I got some therapists on there, I'm a lighten the load on it for you. Now, you don't have to actually answer this, because I don't want you to have to, you know, run half your customers. But I want to find out this question here, me and many others. Now, is when a woman shaves up all her eyebrows or put them foot long eyelashes on, is she crazy?
Yo, that's the end of the question. You just said, is she crazy? I would have expected you to go a whole bunch of other directions with it, because I know a lot of brothers got problems with that, and I ain't tripping. But I ain't never heard anybody conclude with, is she crazy? So you actually asking these therapists if she got a bona fide, certified mental health problem. That's a long way to go off some long eyelashes, brother. We keep it real here. So we're going to start with the lady. If you will, Jeree, we got two questions on the table. And we got two rules. We got two rules on the Mixed Dialogue Talk Show. We are not politically correct. Really. This brother is following the rule number one. And number two is bring your passion. So he's on here with that. But just be respectful. So we're going to respectfully answer this question, Daree, if you will. It's just crazy because her nails is long and her eyebrows is long. It's just crazy. Now, I ain't never heard it that way, but I'm going to go ahead and let you tackle it however you see fit, Queen. But thank you for being with the show, because I might have hung up on the brother, but we don't do that here. Go ahead.
I'm pacing back and forth.
Oh, she about to get in your stuff, Kevin. She about to get in your stuff.
Listen.
Here you go. Before you answer, Queen. Again, obviously we've been a little hilarious here, but I'm pretty sure that to a degree this is coming from, in a sense, the underlying, which we were about to walk into this conversation anyway, but the underlying idea of, in a sense, how we, to include our women, see ourselves as a community. And sometimes, or some of the fashion points and things that we see out there, there's always this dialogue and argument about whether we truly love ourselves. So sometimes that does come into question. And so I, knowing Calvin a little bit, I understand that while he's been a little facetious, he's really kind of getting to that underlying idea of, in a sense, how some of our women in particular see themselves. So let's kind of, again, reel it back a little bit. And hopefully I calmed you down a little bit, Queen, so you can answer without cussing this brother out. I'm in here trying to mediate for you, Kevin. Cuss out on the air, because we don't mind cussing on this show. We don't mind. Bring your passion. You're not really correct. So, Queen, if you still feel the need to cuss them out, that's on you, Queen. I don't mind. But go ahead.
It's all good. I have a counter question, like, what is crazy? Like, how are we defining that? Because that's not a clinical word. That's not an actual diagnosis. That's not an actual set of challenges. It's a blanket statement. But if there's a question beneath that, I would be happy to answer that. But the reality is that, as you said, people have their own beauty standards, and they come from a number of different sources. And, that looks different from person to person, woman to woman. And so if that is a woman's preference, then that is her preference. Without all of the background and all of the details, it's hard to say that we can deduce from that she don't love herself, or she don't really care about her body or anything along those lines. But it's hard to say without really having more information.
Now, that's the short answer without getting cussed out, Calvin. But let me jump in a little bit and add a little more context, only because it came up on the community on Thursday night. Kelly, you crazy, brother. But anyway, with that, you don't want crazy. As a matter of fact, let's talk about that. I'm not a clinician, so I can call you crazy if I want to. Nah, you're my boy, brother. I'm not crazy.
But anyway, let's put this in context, because again, this is often delved into for, again, collectively how we see ourselves. And so something that came up on the community checkup this Thursday night was a mother talking about, for example, her daughter, in a sense, kind of, I think maybe 16 or maybe a little younger or maybe 14 or whatever, but her daughter, in a sense, wanting to, in a sense, start following a lot of the fashion trends that her mother was like, one, I don't think this is becoming of you. One, I think you're too young for some of these things that you're looking to do. But naturally, our youth are obviously going to be copycat of what becomes fashionable. And there's definitely, you know, constantly, you know, black women can't live down. You know, this has existed throughout all periods, whatever y'all are choosing to do. There's always this unfortunate, you know, kind of an unfortunate dynamic between some black men and black women with how far you're going. And then there's this, as you get conscious, if you will, there's this idea of being unapologetically black would mean that you, you got some in the background, but I'm a mute you, brother. I'll bring you back on in a second.
Oh, you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear something in the background. I think that's you. Anyway, so I'll let Kevin come back on in a second. But anyway, this idea of, you know, this idea of being unapologetically black and not living up to maybe standards that are, in a sense, being put onto you. And then the other part of it, and I know I'm saying a lot here, but I just kind of want to have you address it as a sister and have Coach D'Amico's jump in as well. And then the last aspect of a lot of things that are done that, you know, men, in a sense, that a lot of men find just completely displeasing, but the idea is to mate with those same men. So there's a lot thrown in there, but just, you know, in a sense, bigger thoughts, obviously getting away from the term crazy, if you will. But just, you know, in a sense, what are your thoughts in regards to any of what I said?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always, and this is huge for me, both personally and professionally, but there's room to acknowledge the both and. You know, I don't think we have to choose one or the other. The reality is that black women in America are in between cultures. You know, it is not a European standard to adorn ourselves in a certain way. It's very African to wear makeup and to add hair and to adorn ourselves in a certain way for, you know, our own satisfaction and our own pleasure. That's not to say that that's not something that we have to now consider, because we are, you know, we're not in you know, our native land. That's not to say that we don't have to then consider how does that align or how does that come up against maybe a standard that potential mates or partners may have for us. So that's another thing to consider, you know, coming into that space. And so just as, you know, this young teenage girl might be like, okay, now I want to consider all of these other additions, you know, that's what we've done, always done. That's what we've done over time. And so, no, it may not be what everyone likes, but that's her standard, and that may be what she wants. And of course, I would encourage and have conversation about just appreciating who you are and what you have and your own natural beauty. But that's not just something you can say to someone one time. That's something that you have to practice. That is something that has to be modeled. That's something that has to be not just said with words, but shown with action. You know, I know we have another brother on the call that works primarily with men. I work primarily with women and teenage girls. And oftentimes, you know, across the age span, I'm asking, you know, where did you learn how to love yourself? Where did you learn how to appreciate your body? And we oftentimes are not formally taught those things. And so it's important, even if that's something that is said to you in your space, in your surroundings, that it's something that's modeled. You know, people say things, you know, mothers bring their teenage daughters and say, I just don't know, you know, where she got this from. Yeah, I don't know where she would get an idea like this from, but how do you talk to yourself? Every time you open your mouth, you're saying disparaging comments about yourself. You know, where are they learning that from? And it's not just, it would be unfair to put all of that on just a single source and put that on who's at home, but who else is in the village? Who else is in the community? Where are you modeling that? And so I get to be that for some people, and that's what I consider myself, is just an extension of the village, an extension of the of their communities. Not that there's something wrong or problematic, but I'm just another person in the village that they get to witness self-care. They get to witness what it means to show up. You know, one week I might have my hair twisted. One week I might have braids. The next week I got a head wrap on. The next week, you know, I got an afro. It's just, it is what it is, but it's an appreciation. It's a modeling, and it's not just coming from me saying words, but it's coming from my actions as well. And that's something that I think has to be done across the board.
Nah, it makes sense. Just as long as you ain't showing up at the therapy sessions with a bonnet on. I'm being funny right now, and I got the break to save my day. So you can't even beat me up. We are going to break currently right now as we speak. So can't nobody beat me up right now. We'll be right back.
No, never. We never fighting. We can fight with words, but never fighting.
Hey, it was just right there. You said it on the tee for me. You're like, I show up with twist on, yeah. I show up with braids. I was like, well, what about it? I'm being funny. Now, we'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Thank you.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I am the owner and facilitator of the Mental Dialogue Community Support Group, focused on practical solutions and the collective thinking of the black community. We do that one of two ways. Every third Friday, 7 p.m. at Urban Grind, or Saturday mornings, the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Contact us at mentaldialogue.com or on Facebook at Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
If you have a product or service you want to get out to the smartest audience in all of radio, please give me a call directly at 404-604-9477 or follow us on social media and inbox me. You can find us at on IG at mental_dialogue as well as on Facebook by my name, Montoya Smith, or on the Facebook Mental Dialogue page. Search for those and DM me if you're interested. If you're an individual, keep Intelligent Radio on the air. Become a supporter at mentaldialogue.com. If you're outside of Atlanta, if you're in Atlanta, become a member of the Mental Dialogue Community Club. Again, highlighting 7:30 tonight, Jazz in the Elliott Historic Downtown Norcross, free event. Bring your own drinks, bring your own food. We're going to have a good time as our first get together since February. And the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, I will have to change that commercial. We'll be moving to Wednesday night, and we'll July the 14th will be Mental Dialogue and the KG Hyatt Company presenting the live experience for those who've been fortunate enough to participate in the smartest event and networking event in all of the city, but we haven't done it in over a year thanks to this pandemic. So look forward, stay tuned as we continue and start promoting the live experience for July the 14th, Wednesday night. With that said, this morning's discussion question, are you honest with your therapist? I still got Kevin out there on the line. I got another caller on the line. If you want to get in, 914, please press 1. If you're online, this is our last segment. You've got a few minutes to still get in. 646-787-1691. Coach D'Amico's kind of wanted to get your thoughts. Again, you mostly dealing with black men in reference to some of what Kevin said, men having, in a sense, an issue with, if you will, these various beauty standards. But like Jeree said, we're in between cultures. And one thing that that we do better than anything is whatever the industry standard is, we are going to remix it. That is our gift to the world. And sometimes, you know, as black men, we don't always like those remixes, but it's not necessarily, you know, for us to like or whatever. But again, there's been these big discussions. I was being super facetious because I did not participate in the Bunnet, online Bunnet discussion over the last few weeks. I didn't participate at all. But again, Jeri set me up so easy and so pretty. I had to say something about it. So I haven't been one of these people that's been for or against. I usually leave those questions alone because our sisters got it hard enough as is. But your thoughts, Coach DeBicos, on, again, some of what our caller Calvin is bringing to the table about those beauty standards and how we see them as African-American men. Go ahead, King.
All right, so my take ain't about to be far. So let me say this. Because I hear that often a lot of the time as a rebuttal when it comes to men or women creativity. And we always point back to our ancestors did it back in Africa. Well, one thing we don't always highlight is that our ancestors too dealt with issues of being of exclusion and inclusion, of self-esteem, of depression, et cetera. You know, it didn't have the same term or label, but it still, those that need to belong to something, to be approved for something, has always existed as long as there's always been more than one human being. So that is that, you know. So when we see the sisters wearing all the fly stuff, and listen, and everybody who knows me and follows my page know I love my strippers. Like, I'm in the strip club, not as weekly as it used to be, but I'm there. You know, I love my... They go to Miami, they get the BBL, the everything. I'm on board with everything. But I know how to separate the fun from what's reality. I know to separate the fetish and the fantasy of a black woman from the reality of a black woman. And so to sit here and for us all to act like it's normal to see black women walk around in these peacock wear, or in half naked, and all these independent identities that they cloak it to be, that all comes out of pimphole culture. The same thing with men. When you see men come walking around with all these chains, or pants sagging, or you know, or money phone is a big thing. That's all pimphole. This is all pimphole culture. We can't all the adults of us can't all act like this stuff is normal just because it's popular. And we all have to keep in mind as the conscious individuals that this is all driven by consumer corporations who make money off of this. They have to push these images of pimp-hole culture that we happily oblige to and accept because it makes dollars. And it's and you're going to – and to speak against that, it's as if the cloak is always, oh, you're speaking against the individuality of womanhood. I don't care. You know, we black men have to take our community back. We have to take – our position in the world back and lead with what's reality. We all, both sides, have to do what's best to be for our obligation of community, which is companionship. We all need to be creating more black families, not more black single families. So if doing this, that, and the third isn't going to attract men, and you say, I don't do it for the men, that's fine. Just as long as you're not having babies, you can do it for yourself all you want. But when you got babies out here who need fathers, when you're a man out here and you need a woman, we all are obligated to it. There's a sense of obligation we have to have for each other that has to be higher than our individual egotistical selves desire of the world. So that's my take on it. I told you it wasn't.
I love what you just said, brother. I love what you just said. And what I'd like to, because I do an after-school program and, I'm a part of one. It's not my program, so I don't want to say that incorrectly. But love children and love youth. And so what I love to describe, and you kind of laid it out perfectly, if you will, Coach DeBicos, in my opinion, is I love to explain to them there's time and place. Time and place. And quite often, I think you're correct, Coach DeBicos, in the idea that the way things are delivered publicly, because, again, you are up against that corporate machine that's pushing things for the dollar, right? And so there's this backlash or cancel culture anytime you don't, in a sense, fit into what's normally said, and they're not even willing to listen to the dialogue of time and place, because that's what, in a sense,
young people with the over consumerism, they're not going to be, it's not going to be explained to them. There's a time and place for everything. Like you said, as an individual, do what you like. But if in fact one day you're deciding, I want to be with another person, then consideration for what that looks like and how you, in a sense, best raise a family, then there is a time and place to, in a sense, I'll agree with you, grow up and move away from the things that are not beneficial in that sense. Like you said, do what you want while you're on your own. But yes, I have to make mature considerations for what work, and you're right. A lot of what's going to be pushed corporately because it makes dollars is pimp and whole culture. So I agree with you 100%. And sometimes, as you said, you can't even speak against it from the standpoint of developing a family and what that responsibility looks like and requires, because it's definitely very different, and a lot of things that play into that culture are detrimental to family. Jaree, any thoughts in reference to, again, how we're coming as black men saying, hey, you know, to a degree, you know, with the individual I'm with, you know, maybe we can have a say-so in how each other present themselves in the public if we say we are together, which, again, doesn't apply to all black women, but it does matter to, in a sense, for who I want to be my wife or who I am, in a sense, representing as her husband, if you will. Any thoughts on that, Queen?
Ooh, yeah, that's heavy. That's quite a question. But I think, you know, I think we led into this conversation on an important note, in knowing that we cannot and do not operate in isolation. You know, it's unfortunate that the individualistic view is so popularized and so promoted, mm-hmm. like I'm an individual being individual, but we have to consider, you know, family and community, because that's in our nature. It's in our nature to do. So we have to be thoughtful about those things, and that's not to say that there's only one way to do that, but it is important that we operate keeping the family, the village, the community in mind. That's not to say you do what they say do. That's not to say you don't have your own, you know, desires and passion and all that, but you have to be considerate of the entire unit. And so when I say that, you know, the reality is we have to be thoughtful of what are the greater implications of what this means. And you know, because we sort of took a little side trip, because we started talking about we started with therapy. We landed on this, but the reality is we have to be able to model these types of interactions in the therapeutic relationship as well as outside of. And so just keeping in context this like notion of the unit, of the village, of the culture, like what does this mean, what does this represent? And so like when I see sometimes people getting frustrated about things or having really strong emotions around it, it's the what's underneath it that's really about. It's not about any of the things that have been hot ticket items in you know, in the culture lately, around the bonnets and the lashes and the brows and the hair and all of that. It's about what does it look like? What are the implications? How will people view us? How will people treat us as a result of that?
Well, yeah, I'll tie together. Yeah, because definitely, you know, obviously this started with, you know, do the long lashes make you crazy, if you will, but we're kind of circling back around. And so, you know, again, I'm going to tell you how I think it relates, and then I want y'all to get out y'all public information.
Yeah.
But the way I think it relates, if you will, is just when we even talked about the idea of understanding how getting premarital therapy, if you will, versus a lot of people that have never considered that, and just knowing that you can constantly have a coach or a therapist that, in a sense, helps you, in a sense, live your best life. And if your idea is to live with another, so I'm just circling all the way back to say a therapist can help you with that, if you will, and how to distinguish, in a sense, how to, in a sense, remain yourself as the individual, as Coach D'Amico said, within that context of a unit, if you will, but just having deeper dialogues about what does this mean and how can we remain a family unit, because that's something that we're still, in a sense, fighting to get back, if you will, culturally. So that's, in a sense, how I'll tie that bow and knot together. But with that said, Jaree, if you will, let people know how they can follow you, receive services, or whatever else you want to share publicly. Please do that at this time. Thank you for being on with us, Queen.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate just being able to share a little bit with myself and given the opportunity. We'll be happy to keep, building on this conversation. But I can be reached through my website. Real simple is www.therapywithjaree.com. That's my website. I'm also on Instagram. It's a professional, it's my business page. It's my first name, JAREE_LCSWC. That's Licensed Clinical Social Worker Certified. That's what that acronym stands for, just in case you forget all of them letters. And then my Facebook for my business is AFYA, AFYA, Counseling and Wellness Services. So that's all of the ways people can reach me and stay connected. Right now I'm not taking individual clients, but always recruiting for ongoing groups, workshops, community engagement programs.
Now, thank you, Quinn. Let me get Coach D'Amico's in here real quick. If you will, Coach, how can they reach you? You got about 30 seconds. Make it quick, King.
Yeah, you can just find me on Facebook, Coach D'Amico's Chambers, type in Career Coach, or Instagram at Fearless Black Men. Also go to, just Google me, Career Coach D'Amico's. You'll find me.
All right, sounds good. Black Men and Cigars podcast as well, co-host of that great show. See y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.